Welcome to the Weekly Radio Spin, a look at the stories behind the news, brought to you by the Center for Media and Democracy. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Diane Farsetta. In our top spin, recently released documents show that the U.S. and British governments worked together months earlier than was previously thought to push the Iraq War. The documents were analyzed by the U.S. National Security Archive. Comparisons of the first and final drafts of a CIA white paper on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction program show that more and more pointed references to Iraqi weapons were added. The early drafts were written before the intelligence report the paper is supposedly based on. A British paper on Iraqi weapons drafted around the same time bears striking parallels. According to the National Security Archive, U.S. intelligence agencies' reliance on the anti-Saddam Hussein exile group, Iraqi National Congress, and their dismissal of more reliable sources saying there were no Iraqi WMDs, quote, most likely flows directly from the prodding by high levels at the Pentagon and White House, end quote.
The Pentagon's looking for someone to lead its new Defense Media Activity Program, or DMA. The DMA will put several military media organizations under one roof, including the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service, the Stars and Stripes newspaper, and the Pentagon Channel. The DMA, with a budget of more than $225 million, will be responsible for conveying agreed-on messages to Pentagon staff, military service people and their families, veterans, and what is referred to as external audiences. One project that the DMA won't have to manage is the America Supports You Public Relations Program. America Supports You is currently under investigation for funneling PR and marketing contracts through the Stars and Stripes newspaper. An agency official said America Supports You, quote, wasn't placed under the DMA because it is not of the same nature as other external information programs, end quote.
As the Weekly Radio Spin previously reported, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE, recently launched an experiment. ICE asked undocumented immigrants to deport themselves instead of being forcibly deported by the agency. But the project, called Scheduled Departure, has been deemed a failure. During the three-week, five-city effort, only 8 people signed up. One ICE official concluded, quote, I think this proves the only method that works is enforcement, end quote. But from the beginning, immigrant rights activists have said that scheduled departure is nothing more than a PR stunt. ICE admitted that the program was designed in part to give the agency a more gentle and compassionate image, to respond to criticism that ICE enforcement actions split up families.
The head of the World Bank said last year that the International Lending Agency would actively support projects that combat climate change. But instead, under Robert Zoellick, the World Bank is funding new fossil fuel projects worldwide. One is the coal-powered Tata Ultra Mega Power Plant in western India. When it goes online in 4 years, the plant will be one of the 50 largest sources of greenhouse gas emissions in the world. The U.S. Department of Energy estimates that the plant will emit more carbon dioxide annually than the entire nation of Tunisia. The World Bank is lending nearly $500 million to the project and is also considering buying stock in the plant.
The Weekly Radio Spin would like to issue a correction for a story last week. We misquoted a U.S. military public affairs officer talking about a new information operations contract in Iraq. The officer said the contract would publicize U.S. attempts to counter, quote, ruthless roadside bombs that blow up people in streets, in schools, and mosques, end quote. The Weekly Radio Spin regrets the error.
And now it's time to play 6 Degrees of Spin and Fakin, our look at the connections between media manipulators. Earlier, we mentioned World Bank President Robert Zoellick. In 2001, Zoellick was appointed United States Trade Representative, and in 2005, he was nominated to become Deputy Secretary of State to replace Richard Armitage. Zoellick was one of the main architects of the U.S. Central American Free Trade Agreement, or CAFTA. Signed into law in 2005, CAFTA established a free trade zone between the United States and many Latin American countries. Zoellick was an executive at Goldman Sachs Group when he was appointed by George Bush in 2007 to head the World Bank. He previously had served on the board of Enron.
That's this week's edition of the Weekly Radio Spin. For more information, visit the Center for Media and Democracy's website at www.prwatch.org.